You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. Understanding that God has loved us with a selfless love is the starting point of our becoming a blessing to others. Dig deeper into this topic in this message from our new series, Selfless.
For the past few weeks, we've been going through a series called Selfless. How many of you have joined us for the past few weeks? We've gone through the past few weeks a series of Selfless, and today we are concluding, okay? We are wrapping up this our love series or our February series called Selfless. All right, for the past few weeks, we talked about biblical truths, about love, about marriage. Last week, we talked about sex. And this week, as we conclude our series, we're going to be talking about loving others. Past few weeks, we've talked about love in the context or in the boundaries of marriage. Okay, we talked about marriage and sex. Now, we're going to talk about love expressed by loving others. So it's all about loving the people around you naman. So speaking about loving others, how many of you here are sitting next to someone loving? Okay? Their only fault is that they're so loving. Wala, grabe ka kind, grabe ka patient, grabe butang yung tawhana ni, loving yung tawhana ni. Okay, I hope you have friends like that. So we're going to talk about that, okay? Loving others, or as we say, compassion. Now before that, whenever we talk about the word love, when you hear the word love, perhaps one of the first things that pops into your mind are these images right here. For example, the first one, a romantic date, a dinner date. Umiyong here one day, ganahan mo mag-chada nga date, Valentine's date. A romantic date, or for some of you, okay, especially for those of you who are single, okay, you're dreaming of this day whenever you hear the word love. To have a dream wedding. Anyone here, you're dreaming one day to have that great wedding. Diba, mga single in the house. Diba, taas ang kamay, okay? Dapat by faith, diba? So, or another thing naman, when you hear the word love, it's all about, you know, maybe doing your hobbies. Okay, singing, dancing, okay? Hobbies muna, hobbies, okay? Anyone here, you're sitting next to someone na mahilig mag-sing? Huh? Singer, by faith singer, siya nagtingog, by faith. Okay, or mahilig mag-dance. Basically, you're sitting next to someone na multi-talented, okay? Okay, do you have people like that, okay? Singing, dancing, cooking, okay? Okay, or maybe for some of you, when you hear the word love naman, okay, it's all about the family. It's spending time, those dinners and breakfast with your family, spending time together in Christmas, going home to meet your loved ones, okay? That's a love maybe for you. Or maybe for some of you naman, okay, when you hear the word love, it's all about this delicious food right here, okay? Parang you love to eat. Anyone here, you're like that, you love to eat. Diba? When you hear the word love, I love this best delicious food, whatever, okay? Love is expressed in different ways. And true enough, okay, in the Bible, there are in fact several words that talk about love. If in the English language, we just have one word for love, which is love, in the Greek language, in the New Testament, there are actually like four words that talks about love. Okay? There's eros, meaning romantic love between, you know, a man and a woman, a husband and his wife. There's storge or storge. If I'm murdering this word, sorry na lang, I'm not Greek. It means love within the family, love between those who are related. Then there's filio naman, brotherly love, love between your friendship. But the last kind of love, and the kind of love that we're going to talk about today as we talk about loving others and being compassionate, is what we call agape, or agape kind of love. When we say agape, agape is used to describe the love that is of and from God. This kind of love is a kind of love that comes from God. It's used to describe how God loves us and how we are to mirror or reflect that love to other people. So today, as we talk about loving others, I'm not talking about, you know, pursuing someone, uyabunin niyo or something. That's not the kind of love we're talking about here today. As we talk about loving others, I'm talking about, you know, showing God's love, His agape love to other people, to those around you. Whether that be maybe your schoolmates in the campuses, your workmates, your family, your neighbors, okay? It's all about showing God's love in our lives. That's what we mean by loving others, all right? So, are you ready for the word here today, church? Okay, I hope you are, okay? So, if you have your Bibles with you, kindly just turn them to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. It says there, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." Verse 2, "and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So today, as we tackle this topic about loving others or being compassionate, we're going to answer two important questions, right? Firstly, why should we love others? Or why should we be compassionate to others? Why should we give time to care for other people? I mean, why should I go outside my schedule, outside my comfort zone, outside, you know, my usual routine, and take time, energy, resources, and all that to love others, to show care to other people? Secondly, how should we do it? Or how can we do it ba? I mean, let's say if we want to do it, want to love others, how can we practically do it? Okay, those are the two questions that we're going to tackle today. Now, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. It says there, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And in verse 2 says there, and walk in love as Christ loved us. Firstly, for us to grasp first that we should love others or be compassionate, let's answer the why first, all right? Why should we love others, okay? Para mag-grasp natin, we should pala love others, we should be compassionate to our neighbors. So firstly, we need to understand why should we be compassionate and care about other people. It's because, firstly, God is compassionate. Okay, tell your seatmate, God is compassionate. We serve, we worship a God who cares for people. As we just read in that verses, going back to Ephesians chapter 5, says there, be imitators of God. Meaning imitate, follow God's character. Now, if you were here last month, we had this series called Knowing God. It's about knowing some attributes of God. And in some of those installments, some of you were here when we had that series, Knowing God. Thank you for that. Okay. Now, if you ever missed that, you can always listen to them in our podcast. But in that series, Knowing God, we got to learn some of His attributes. And some of His attributes about God is that He is generous and He is good. He's a God who loves to bless His people. He's a God who is good to His people. And because He is good to His people, He loves His people. He cares for His people. In fact, if you read your Bibles, the word needy is shown in the Bible 50 times. Over 300 verses are talking about God's concern for the poor and social injustice. We're talking about a God here who loves to care, who loves to rescue, who loves to show concern for His people, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, if you read, there's a story about the Exodus, about the Israelites going from one place to another, of God rescuing them. And throughout that journey, God was consistently providing for them for what they needed. In fact, before the Exodus even happened, the Bible says that when they groaned and they cried out to God because they were enslaved by Egyptians, when they were enslaved, they cried out to God, and the Bible says God heard their cries. God heard them. God knew. God is not indifferent to the sufferings and problems of this world. God cares for His people. God is compassionate. There is a story in the New Testament. If you look at the New Testament naman, okay, talking about how Jesus loved us. There's this story in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 36, that perfectly demonstrates Jesus' radical compassion to people. It says here, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. Verse 36 says there, when He saw the crowds, He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So imagine this, Jesus was one day, you know, He was going to this place, going to this area, healing every disease and illness that He could find, preaching the gospel to them. But as He was going about, you know, doing these things, when He saw the crowd, imagine we are like over 300 or something here today. Imagine Jesus right now, when He saw the crowd, when He saw the multitudes, the people, when He saw them, the Bible says that He had compassion for them. Jesus had compassion for them. Now let's look into that a little bit more. What does it mean when Jesus had compassion for people? Okay, does it simply mean like kanang maluhay ka when you see something on Facebook, when you scroll down, okay, one like, one prayer, okay? Is it inana lang na siya ba? Is it something like just a feeling lang, a sappy feeling that you feel sad or something? If you go to the dictionary, the word compassion means a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate that suffering. In other words, there's this strong, deep feeling, strong, deep urge of sympathy towards another person. Meaning, if you see someone in need, someone who is in trouble, someone who is ill, or something's bad is happening to that person, being compassionate means you have this deep sympathy for that person. Parang feeling nimo ang iyang giagian, and you have that deep urge or desire to alleviate the suffering, to remove the suffering from that person. And it's not just about being sorry or being sad nga, kaluhin ni mo eh. Sige na, okay na. Kaya na, kaon na. Status na ni mo na, okay? It's not just that. I mean, you want to help that person. You can't contain that. You have to do something for that person. And if you go back to the Greek language of the word compassion, it actually gives us a more graphic detail or for us to grasp just how compassionate Jesus was. In the Greek language, the word compassion means splagnitsomai. I know medyo nose bleed siya. It's not spaghetti or something. Okay, tell your seatmate, splagnitsumay. Okay, tell your other seatmate naman, okay, splagnitsumay. Now, I could be murdering this word, so I'm sorry, again, I'm not Greek. But anyway, splagnitsumay, it means to be moved as to one's bowels, meaning intestines. Hence, to be moved with compassion, to have compassion. Now, why is it this way? What does it mean that splagnitsumay means to be moved as to one's bowels or intestines? That is because in the ancient world, in their time, they believed that emotions were to be found in the intestines. Diba karon, whenever we talk about feelings and all that, it's all about the heart. But in their time, it's all about the intestines. Okay, it's all about the intestines. Ma, siguro kung mag-draw ka, you know, love for someone, dili heart imong i-draw ana, intestine i-draw ni wana. That's where they believe the seat of love and pity is found. It's in the intestines. So when you say someone has compassion for someone, let's try to grasp this. Ha? Let's try to go visual or something. When it says someone has plagnitsumai for someone is being compassionate to someone, it says there na, it's like being moved by one's bowels, that you have to do something. Anyone here, you ever had that experience that you were moved by your intestines? I mean, you had to do something wherever you are, whether in your workplace, campus, when it stirs, when it calls you to do something, you know you have to do something. And here you had that experience. Wala jud mo? Hindi mo human, di ko mo tuwa na eh. But talking about, you know, LBM and all that, para clear lang ta, okay? Your stomach or your intestine starts churning, starts, you know, moving or being discomforting, di ba? It stirs you to do something. Bahala na ka sa fourth floor, ang siya nasa first floor, manaog juga. And vice versa, di ba? Have you ever tried that? But it moves you to do something, okay? Nga, kasi naglain ang tiyanin mo. In the same way, when Jesus saw the crowds, he felt such compassion. It's like it was hard for him to contain that desire to help the people around him. Because it says there, they were like sheep without a shepherd. Helpless sheep. Now his insides moved him so much. Parang he had to do something for his people. For these people, for this crowd. That is what we mean by being compassionate. When you see the people around you, what do you feel? Do you feel like Jesus felt? Now when you see your campus, your workplace, or your family, or your communities, do you have that strong, deep sympathy and desire to help other people? Or is it just a fleeting moment na, kalwi po niya, ay, sige ra, Lord, ikaw na ba, Lord. I hope that it's kind of like what Jesus felt, right? Splagnitsumay, okay? That deep feeling moving to help other people. We should be compassionate because firstly, our God is a compassionate God. Tim Keller says, from the ancient times, the God of the Bible stood out from the gods of all other religions. Okay? As a God on the side of the powerless and of the justice for the poor. The God that we worship is a compassionate God. He looks at the needs of others. So if you are here today, you have a big need. You've been crying out. You've been praying to God. Have the assurance that God hears your prayer. He knows exactly what you're going through. He is not deaf, nor is he blind to what you are going through right now. Secondly, okay, why should we be compassionate? Because social responsibility or doing acts of compassion have always been part of church community. When we say being compassionate or, you know, doing acts of compassion to other people, this isn't something that we in Victory just invented. This isn't something that for this series lang. If you look into church history, you would see examples upon examples of people doing compassionate acts or doing social responsibility. In fact, and there's this guy named William Wilberforce, okay? He's a guy who's best known for ending slavery in England. He was young when he started. He heard the call of God. God called him to do something, to take radical action, and that is to end slavery in his country. And it took several years, I think several decades, before the law was finally passed until, you know, slavery ended in his country. And there's several other stories of people making churches, hospitals, other institutions, schools. The church for such a long time had a long history of compassion acts. In fact, in the early church, in local churches, they would have a list called matriculum. A matriculum is a list of people that a church in that area would help, would give, would donate, or do things for them. That's how it is, okay? Church history would tell you that social responsibility has always been part of church history, has always been part of our church community. That again, this is something that we just invented on this day. Okay, we've been doing this ever since, you know, Jesus modeled or exemplified it. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, says there, If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. This verse tells us that even if we speak in the tongues of angels, even if we do all sorts of these things, if we do not have love, then we are like a clanging cymbal. We're like sabata langasta. The Bible tells us that we are to love others. We are to model it, okay? And that's why the church for the longest time in its history has always tried to show that love to other people. Hence those examples I said a while ago. It goes on to say in verse 2, if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Verse 3 naman says, if I give up away all I have, okay, I give charitable acts. If I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. The Bible is very clear. We are to love others. Without love, even if you do these acts, even if you do mighty deeds, even if you accomplish so many things, even if you learn so many things, okay, head knowledge about the Bible, you memorize the Bible from cover to cover, you know all about the secrets or whatever, the mysteries, you're able to do so much for Jesus, but if you don't have love in you, then it is for nothing. In fact, John 13 verse 35 says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. In other words, the mark of our maturity as a Christian, what will validate that we are who we claim we are Christians, we are believers of Jesus, we are following God, is not how much head knowledge we have, is not how much facts we memorize or trivia about the Bible or of Jesus we know, but it's how much we're able to love others. It's how much we're able to love the people around us, our families, our friends, even those nga, your schoolmates, your workmates, and all those people. To the degree that you're able to love people, that is the mark of your maturity. It's not about head knowledge, though it's good to study the Bible. I'm not saying it's not good. Yes, it's good to study the Bible, learn things. But without love, then it is for nothing. We are all commanded to love and called to love. Remember the time when Jesus was asked, what is the most important law in the Bible? And Jesus said, to love God above all things. And the second one is to love others as you love yourself. If you're here today and you're thinking, kailangan dyan ako love ng neighbor, kailangan sa mo ka classmate na ako, kailangan workmate, nga annoying kayo siya, my boss, do I need to love my boss? Do I need to show care to my boss, to my teacher? Yes, we need to show love to these people. The Bible says we are to show love to them. Again, it says here, by this all people will know that you are truly whom you claim to be. If you're here today, you're a believer, you're a follower of Jesus, people will know that you are who you claim you are by how much you love others. We are to love others. In fact, my hope and my prayer is that after this, you know, when we get to learn of these things, I hope that this will inspire us to love the people around us. That when you go to your campuses, for the students, if you go to your campuses, I hope that when you're there, people are blessed by your presence. People will feel like, man, this person, okay, ma-bless lang sa presence mo. Dili kay pakabot nimo, ikaw ang pinakaunang mangguba, mangdaot, or something. When you go to your workplace, I hope that your workmates, you know, will appreciate you working there, would love to work with you because you're such a bundle of love because you love your workmates. When you go home to your families, for those of your parents, I hope your kids would love to hang out, be with you, whether they're young or they're old na, because of how much you're able to show love to them. Church, we are called to love other people. We are called to love. God has called us to love others. Not to be so consumed with our own self, with our own needs, own interests. I do understand we have needs. And yes, those are valid needs. Okay, some of us here today, we have big needs. But there's more to love than just, you know, trying to fulfill, trying to satisfy what we want. God has called us to go beyond looking at our own selves and look into the needs of others. To love other people. The problem with us today is that we live in a selfie generation. I do understand. But my point is that we live in a generation where it's all about me, me, me. It's all about my wants, my needs, my time. Haven't you realized that, you know, there's so much in what we live right now that tries to take up our time? There's so much that tries to distract us. When we go home, it's all about, you know, looking to our social media, texting, all that. It's all about, you know, when we go home, when we want to watch our favorite movies or series. It's all about me. It's all about what we want. Well, church, a reminder for all of us, God is calling us to break into our self-bubbles, okay, our bubbles, and be in the lives of other people as well, to love others. To love other people. I remember just a couple of weeks ago, we asked this question in our youth service, okay, because in our youth service, we also had a love series. We asked this question in our youth service, okay, what was the craziest thing you did for love? Okay, anyone here, you have that a crazy thing you did for love? nuts and miraculous. Okay, it says here, yung magmahal ng sobra. Okay, what was the crazy thing you did for love? Yung magmahal ng sobra. I'm not just showing that to make fun of her or what. But I'm showing that because, diba, that line speaks something. Yung magmahal ng sobra. I hope we're a people. Now, if there's one thing that people will accuse us of, it is because yung magmahal ng sobra ang a person. When people look at you, they're just blessed being around you. They know that, man, you are someone who's not just out to use them, to manipulate them, to get something from them, but you are someone who loves and cares for them. You're someone who's interested in their well-being. I hope we are like that, church. That's how God called us to do, to love others, okay? We are to love other people. Well, speaking of the church examples about social responsibility and doing good works or doing compassionate acts to others, not just in the ancient early church history, but even here in Victory Dumaguete, we've also done our part. Okay, not to brag or anything, but just to show us examples of what we've done as well to show compassion or be socially responsible. We've done the following example. Bloodletting, okay? We've donated some blood to those in need, to those who needing blood. We've had a couple of bloodletting already last year. I'm going to have them this year, I guess. So just be updated for any of our schedules. Next, medical missions, okay? In times wherein, I guess we had the medical mission as well when Typhoon Yolanda hit, we sent a team there. Okay, in 2013, yeah, we sent a team there to do medical missions to help the people there. But the other one is also our more recent one. We went to different areas in Dumaguete to help out the community there. We also did a feeding program and gift giving. Okay, so we've fed people, give gifts to them. Next one is the toy drive naman for the kids. Okay, so then another one, relief operations. So in times of calamities, natural disasters, okay? And lastly, last but not least, okay, some counseling with some prostitutes in Dumaguete. Now, for their privacy and their protection, we blurred their pictures there just to protect them. Again, I'm not showing that just to brag or something, but just to show everyone that this church, also a church that's committed to show compassion, to be socially responsible in our community. And I'm showing that so the next time when something like this happens, you can also join if you want to. You can also take part in, you know, being a blessing to the community then here in Dumaguete. Because social responsibility is our responsibility. It's not reserved for just, you know, organizations, NGOs, or this thing. All of us have a part to play. All of us can do something to be socially responsible and be compassionate to the people around us. Whether you're a student now, or you're working, or you're married, whatever is your status right now, you can be socially responsible. You can make a difference in your community. Social responsibility is our responsibility. Tell your seatmate, it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility. Now, let's get to the how. How do we be socially responsible, or how can we be compassionate to other people? We've gone for the why. God is compassionate. The church has been doing it for the longest time. God commands us to be compassionate. We are to follow and obey Him. Now, how do we do that? How do we practically, you know, be compassionate to other people? Now, there's several ways we can do that. I'm just going to tackle two things, okay? I know this isn't like a full list or something, but two important things for all of us, two practical things for all of us here tonight as we talk about being compassionate to others. Firstly, let's look into Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35. This passage right here talks about, you know, the life of the early church, what their life was like, how they were able to live off. And from there, we're going to learn those two things that I'm going to share. It says there in verse 32, "Now the full number of those who believed were one heart and one soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. But they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them." Imagine that, no needy person. "For as many as were owners of lands or houses, sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need." What we can learn first from this passage, firstly, and very practically for all of us, is the word generosity. Generosity. How can you show love to someone? I know there's a bunch of ways you can do that. But practically, okay, what's one thing we can do? Okay, what's one that's out of the blue that's, you know, that will really open the heart to other people, pass lives to people, is becoming generous. Is being generous to others. If you go back to that passage in verse 33, it says there was not a needy person among them. Imagine that. In the early church, it says there was not a needy person among them. It doesn't mean that they were super wealthy. It doesn't mean that all these people have mansions or something that they have no need, Jude. But it says there, for as many as were owners of lands or houses, sold them, brought the proceeds of what was sold, and verse 35, and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. In other words, these people, those who had lands, those who had much, would sell them, and then would give the proceeds, give the earnings to the apostles to be distributed to those who had needs. We're talking about radical generosity here. I'm not saying that all of you here today, after this, ibaligay yung luta ninyo pag when you go home. That's not my point. Parang pag ibaligay yung, ma, asang yuta na ito, ma, atong bigay na ito, ma. That's not my point. But what we can learn from here is radical generosity from the lives of these people. This tight-knit community of believers. But if there is someone in need, they would help that person. Okay? In their case, they would sell their land, sell their possessions, and give something to that person. What we can learn from here is generosity. All of us here today can, okay, emphasize the word can be generous to others. Whether or not, you know, we feel like we have a lot or small na naton karon, we can be generous. I know for some of us here today, we might be thinking, Tom, how can I give? Parang this is all that I have. I don't have millions. But you know what? Generosity doesn't mean extravagance. To become generous, it doesn't mean that you have to have millions just for you to start giving. I know for some of us, the thinking is parang, when I have more, then I'll start giving. Pag ego na, pag dangha na, then I'll start giving. But you know what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, it says there, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. The reason why God blesses us is for us to also be a blessing and generous to others. And that's why the more you give, the more you bless others, the more God is going to bless you so that you can be a blessing more to other people. If you withhold, I know there's a difference between being thrift and being stingy or inot, okay, in our language. If you withhold, if you don't give or be generous to other people, it's basically like, you know, you're putting a hole. Imagine kanang gripo ang gina-open mo. If you close that faucet, the water stops flowing. But when you open the faucet, the water keeps flowing. The same thing with generosity. The more we give from what we have, the more God richly blesses us. So we can all the more be a blessing to others. And again, it doesn't have to be a lot. It doesn't have to be so much before we start giving. What we have right now, it doesn't have to be much. There's actually a lot of things we can do to bless others. For example, what do you have right now that you can be blessing to others? Your giftings, your talents, your skills. I asked a while ago, anyone here, you sit next to someone multi-talented. Do you still have seatmates who are multi-talented right now? Diba? How many of you here are, you know, your skills are, siguro, singing. Anyone here? Raise your hand, singing. Maayos ka mo sing. By faith, charag tingog, okay? Okay, dancing. Okay, or maybe, yun sa ba? Cooking, may mo mang luto. Best adobo in the world. Okay? Sa ba lang skill dyan? You're good at gardening. Maayos ka mo tanom. Hikapo na ni mong yuta, mutubo na ang tanom, okay? Green thumb, okay? What else, ba? You're good at math and sciences. Bright kay ka, okay? You're the intellectual type, okay? Balag, hatangan ka equations diha, kaya kay nimo, piyungan pa nimo, or something. Or you're good with, you know, medicine. You're into medicine, the field of medicine, nurses, medtech, or something. That's your field, okay? Or whatever skill, padre. There's so much skill and talent. There's not a person in the world who can say, Tom, wala ko yung skill. Tom, wala ko yung talent. There's talent, okay? All of us here have hidden talents, okay? For some of you, you have crazy hidden talents. But the point is, all of us have talents and skills and giftings, and we can use those giftings to be a blessing to other people. One of the generous people I know, he's not like super rich or what, but this guy uses his gifting to bless others, okay? What is it that you have? What skills and talents you have that you can bless other people? And that being said, I'm going to open this plugged in lang na ako. We've had this in January, but if you're here today and you want to sign up and join our ministries, our service ministries, you can still do so. Okay? We have 5 service ministries and you want to use your talents and skills to serve God. If you feel like you have something you want to be used by God, feel free to join our service ministries. Okay? Very quickly lang, okay? We have, firstly, our ushering ministry. Okay? You have the best smile in the world. Everyone here, ang smile ninyo, makapalipay yung tao, maka good morning sa tao, maka set sa day. Kama itong song, when I see you smile, parang I can change it. When you smile, it changes the life of a person, okay? If that's you, join the ushering ministry if you love serving all that. Next one, music ministry, okay? our music team, if you can sing, play an instrument, whether that be guitar, saxophone, drums, if that's you, or you're a songwriter, if that's you, join the music ministry. We do have an audition process, so but still, feel free, try it out, all right? Next one, the technical ministry, our men in black over there, all right? If you love working with computers, wires, you know, hardware and all those things, if that's you, you love putting up these things, okay? If that's you, you love getting your hands dirty and setting up these things. If that's you, join our technical ministry. We need people who are good in FOH, okay? I mean the sound equipment, lights, music, audiovisual. We need people who are into those things. So if that's you, join the technical ministry. Next one, yun, our kids ministry. Kids ministry, okay? If you love kids or you want to learn to love kids, for those of you who want to have kids in the future and you want to start loving kids, you know what? This is the avenue for that. So we're looking for teachers, those who are good in arts and crafts. So if you're an artist, anyone here who's an artist, you're next to someone who's an artist, maya mo drawing, painting, okay, you're an artist, man, this is the avenue for you. Or if you can act, you feel like you're the future actor. Anyone here who's next to someone, a future actor. If you're wondering, nasa kids ang acting, because we have plays. Sometimes in the kids, they have plays. If you're good at acting, kaya niyo mag-act, join kids ministry for that. Or if you can sing and dance as well, use your dancing skills. Be in kids ministry. Next one, communications ministry, our last one. So if you're into graphic design, photography, video editing, all that, motion graphics, or script writing, if that's you, this is a ministry for you. If you just love media and all those things, join the communications ministry. So again, I'm just including in this for everyone. Just remind everyone, if you still want to volunteer, if you missed out our volunteer weekend last month, it's okay. Don't be shy. We're more than welcome to have you. All right? So, yun, if you feel like you have giftings you want to use, join a service ministry. Can you hear a shout from our volunteers? Yun, okay? So that being said, let's extend thanks and gratitude to all our volunteers for setting up, for preparing our Sunday service every week. So if you're here today, you're an attendee, know that this service is prepared by our awesome volunteers. Volunteers, okay, thank you, okay? So yun, if you want to be part of our volunteers, feel free to join. That's just one thing we can do to be generous, our giftings. But not just that, but our possessions, okay? Yes, financially, we can also be a generous to other people. What do you have with you that might be someone's answered prayer? What do you have at home, in your pocket, or what is that you have right now that could be someone's answered prayer already? And again, it doesn't have to be extravagant or big. Maybe, you know, you treating someone a free meal, you know, bro, ta, dinner ta, ako bahala nimo. Maybe that could be someone's answered prayer already. Lord, laki kong free dinner today, Lord. Kailangan na dyan, Lord. Kaya wala pa yung sweldo, Lord. And you walk at that person like, bro, ako bahala dinner nimo. That person might be like, Lord, buhay ka, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What do you have with you that could treat, bless that someone? If you have items at home, as simple as old but still usable clothes. Maybe someone's praying for new clothes. Lord, katong bench up, Lord. Katong bench ba or something, Lord. And someone wanted you. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That could actually happen, okay? What do you have with you could possibly be someone's answered prayer. Your possessions, okay? Or a simple, bless someone financially. Treat someone. But I know in our culture sa Filipinos, mahilig kita magpalibre, di ba? Birthday, libre naman, libre birthday. Every time someone na achievement na someone, na honor sa school, eh, palibre na honor student man kao, na top naman work. Every time someone has an achievement, every time there's a special occasion, our default is, palibre naman dyan, no? Patis burger naman di ako. That's our default. But when was the last time na kita mismo naghagad, ta, libre na ikaw? When was the last time you fought for someone with a belt? Ako bahala, ako lagi bahala sa bill ba? Nag-argue mo kasi, di, ako lagi ang mas generous, ako mas mahatag. ako ni bro, ako bahala ni mo. Di, ako na po, di kag bless na ako. Bro, ako, it's my turn now, bro. Okay? But generosity, okay? What is that you have with you, church, that you can be a blessing to others? Okay? Your giftings, your possessions. Okay, there's this story about this kid na he was just, I guess, 12 years old or something, or 13 ba to? And this kid, kitakan siya 500 pesos yung parents to buy a gift for doing his chores. Okay, kasi he was able to do his chores, be a good boy, so ang reward niya was 500 pesos to buy any gift he wants. Now, if you were a kid, how many of you know that that's amazing, di ba? Pang, yeah, even now, di ba, 500 pesos, like, it's a big thing, di ba? So this kid walks up the toy department, he buys a toy, and his parents were like, you know, nothing else, like, was that toy that the kid bought was Incredible Hulk, action figure. That character was actually the favorite of their youngest. So, tingnan sila kung kailangan ipalit. So when the little boy bought that toy, he gave it to his younger brother. And the parents were like, "Nak, ano gatag nimo kay kani sa brother nimo?" Dad, I just wanted to give to bless ang brother niya. Imagine that, a kid, a little boy, was able to bless his brother with what he had. Even a little boy could do it. Kita play that na to. What's the youngest age here? Okay, except sa babies at the back. Okay, understand? Diba? All of us, we don't have an excuse that we can't be a blessing or give something to others. It is a lie to think that I have nothing to give. We all have something we can give and be a blessing to others. Okay? We can be generous. Okay, tell your seatmate, we can be generous. Lastly, and I know I'm going over time with this. Last thing, we can give or be a blessing to someone. Acts 4, verse 33 says, with great power, with great responsibility as well, mga nerds na kabaluwato. With great power and great responsibility, okay? The apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. We're talking about generosity, and there's one more thing we can do to be compassionate to others. And this thing will not cost us, it's not expensive something, but this thing is the gospel. If you feel like there's nothing you can give, if you feel like I don't have any material possessions that you can give, the one thing that you can freely give to another person, if you're here today, you're a believer, is the gospel. And this is very important, okay? We can freely give the gospel, okay? Why this is important? Because the things we give will run out, but the hope and love that comes from the gospel never does. When we give something to people, we give them money, we give them items, we give them food, we give them different things. When we do so, those things run out. Diba? Material things run out. But one thing that will not run out when you give something that will last, that will provide hope, love, security to someone is the gospel. That's why it's very important to preach the gospel. Now, before I go on, what is the gospel and why is it very important? Just to refresh everyone, as before I talk, what is the gospel and why is it important? The gospel is the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving that he is the Son of God and offering the gift of the salvation and forgiveness of sins to anyone who repents and believes in him. It is the good news that God, out of his compassion, out of his love for his people, came down to this earth, right? As a person, God became man in Jesus Christ. To what? To die on the cross for our sins. To live a life we should have lived. To live perfectly because we can't live perfectly. To die the death we should have died because of our sins. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So Jesus had to take that punishment for us to die for our sins. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead, okay, proving that he's the Son of God and offering the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins to all those who repent and believe in him. In other words, this good news, this gospel is good news to those whom you preach because it gives them hope. It gives them love. It tells them that there's a God who loves them. To those people who are in despair, to those people who are in need of hope, those people thinking, man, life is too hard, parang I don't want to live anymore. When they hear the gospel, it gives them hope na, man, there's a God who loves you pala. There's a God who knows what I'm going through, that there is hope pala. And you'll never know when you go to your campuses, in your workplace, in your communities, you'll never know what people are going through. We live in a world right now that we're so good with putting up filters. We're so good with putting up images na okay lang tanan. But you know what? When you look around you, those people around you, some of them are actually going through tough times. Some of them are desperately in need of the gospel. People are in need of gospel church. People are thirsty for authentic, genuine love that only God can give. His agape love. People are in need of hope to encourage them to keep on living, to keep on, you know, moving forward. Amen. Lisod na kayo ng kinabuhi. There are people who are in need of that. And the gospel gives them that. That's why it's important for us to preach the gospel. That's why if you are here today, you're a victory group leader, or you're doing one-on-one. Guys, here a shout from those of you who are doing victory groups. Okay? If you're doing victory groups, man, I want to commend you. I want to encourage you to keep doing your victory groups. Whether it's just you, one person, two person, or just you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and your victory group na lang. Kaya walay mo tong ha, okay? Don't give up. Lead that victory group. Go and preach the gospel. If you're doing one-to-one with someone, you feel like, Tom, di na siya mo tong ha, di na siya mo reply, okay? Keep doing one-to-one with people. Keep preaching the gospel to people. Even if people make fun of you, even if people don't, you know, automatically want to receive it, parang okay lang ko, di sa kuhani. Even if that happens, do not give up. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep preaching the gospel because the world needs to hear the gospel. Remember in Ephesians chapter 5, it says there, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We are to love. And how are people to know that God loves them? If no one would go to them, be generous to them, and preach the gospel to them. How will people know that there is a God who loves them, church? How will people know that there is hope in life? How will people know about Jesus if no one would go to them, preach the gospel to them, and tell them about it? Let's all preach the gospel. Let's all go out there. When you go to your campuses, workplace, wherever it is, this Monday, when we go back to our daily lives, when you look at the people around us, I hope we will not be indifferent. I hope our hearts will not be calloused. When I say calloused, parang wala lang, wala kay care whether nagka-problema diyan. But I hope na we'd have that compassion that Jesus felt when he saw the crowds, when he saw the people around them, he couldn't help but do something for them. And I hope that we would have that same heart when we go back to our daily lives after this service, tomorrow, when we have our usual routines. When we look at people, I hope that we would think, Lord, how can I be a blessing to these people? Lord, use me, Lord. How can I make a difference where I am, Lord God? How can I bless someone, Lord, today? Lord, I've been blessed so much. Lord, you died on the cross for me. I've had these things. Lord, how can I be a blessing to someone? How can I make someone's day? How can I show someone, Lord, that you are real? How can I show someone that your love is real? How can I show someone that, you know, buhi is the Lord? You know what? God sees what you're going through. Lord, how can I do something that might be someone's answered prayer? That might be someone's breakthrough and testimony. Lord, what can I do? I hope we would have that in our hearts. I hope we would have it in our thoughts. Lord, what can I do? To be generous, to preach the gospel. To be just like Jesus. Isaiah says here, Jesus looked at the people with compassion because he knew their condition and it moved him to do something, even dying for them. Now for all of us here today, I want to remind us that the reason why we can give love and compassion to others is because all of us here today are recipients of God's love. Remember, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. He was that generous. He didn't withhold his one and only son. He gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. If you're here today, you're a believer, you are recipient of the ultimate act of compassion from God. Him giving his one and only son to die on the cross for our sins. Our salvation, that new life. Remember, we were just doing the communion a while ago. New life, forgiveness of our sins. All of that is a result of God being compassionate towards us. We are enjoying a new life, forgiveness, or we are enjoying this love because of what Jesus did for us. And the thing with God's love is that it is not just for private consumption. There are things in this world that's for private consumption. I mean, it's just for you lang. Diba? When you buy a toothbrush, diba? Toothbrush, you don't share it. Parang, okay, oh, gamit ka bro. Deodorant, okay? You don't like share it to other people. It's just for you. There are some things that's just for you. But God's love is not just for you, church. By all means, enjoy the presence of God. Enjoy knowing and realizing how much He loves you. By all means, sink deeper into His love. But as you do so, share that love. Reflect that love to other people as well. Because so many people out there are thirsty, hungry, desperately in need of that kind of love. And God wants you to go out there and be an instrument. Be that person to show that love to them. Let me end with this. Once again, the validity of our Christian faith, what will give us the credibility that we are who we say we are, is seen in our compassion and love for others expressed through good works. What will validate our Christian faith is our compassion and love for others. And my hope and my prayer is that we will be a people who will be filled with love and compassion for other people. We will be a people who's not just interested with our own needs, our wants, but we will be a people who will look into the cares of others. We will not be a selfish generation, but we will be a selfless generation. As we wrap up this series, selfless, may we be a people who would, yes, receive the selfless love of God, but also show the selfless love of God to other people.